You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, a stand-up comedian tells us about her new memoir, which she calls A Social Justice Meets Comedy Manifesto.
First, Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board is winding down its work as the agency prepares to disband on June 29th after nearly a decade of existence. The Election and Campaign Agency was created as a bipartisan effort, and it was the only nonpartisan model of its kind in the United States. Supporters call the agency, commonly referred to as the GAB, a pioneering success. Critics call it a failed experiment. Earlier this year, Governor Walker signed a law calling for the dissolution of the GAB, which is being replaced by separate ethics and elections boards whose members will be named by the two political parties.
Kevin Kennedy is with us for an exit interview as the GAB prepares to end its work. He's led the agency since its inception. He's the director and general counsel of the Government Accountability Board. Kevin, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, let's start with where the GAB began. Why did state lawmakers create the Government Accountability Board?
Well, the primary impetus for it was the caucus scandal of 2000-2001, where both political parties were running political campaigns out of state offices with state funds, and it was a bit of an open secret, but no one was snitching on the other person because they were doing it. But there was also an interest in one-stop shopping. In other words, people would call the elections board, which I ran for a number of years before that, ask a question, but we'd have to say, but you also need to talk to the ethics board to get advice on the lobbying or ethics implications of that. So there was a concern that people often had to make two phone calls to get an answer to a complex set of issues that might be in front of them.
As we mentioned, this was the first nonpartisan elections board in the nation. Was it difficult to pioneer that kind of agency?
Actually, it wasn't at all. First of all, the staff of the two former agencies were both nonpartisan, and the ethics board was a nonpartisan entity. And Wisconsin has a strong tradition of nonpartisanship in our judges, our school board members, even the legislatures. Drafting Bureau and Fiscal Bureau and Audit Bureau are all nonpartisan. So it's not an unusual circumstance in Wisconsin where we don't have people who register to vote by a political party. It was actually very good because we had trained decision makers, people who'd spent a career on the bench making difficult decisions. So in that sense, that also made it very easy because it wasn't someone who put their finger up to the wind to say, you know, what does the person who's nominating me think I should do?
So the GAB has overseen some of the most difficult and contentious political moments in Wisconsin's recent history, including the recall elections in 2012. What was the most difficult thing you faced as director of the Government Accountability Board?
Well, I think that was really the biggest challenge. Was it wasn't just one element. It all started in 2011. You know, right after the Packers won the Super Bowl, we ended up with the budget repair bill and 100,000 people in and out of the Capitol, legislators running to Illinois to thwart action. We had recalls against all 16 senators that were available, 9 of which went to election, a statewide recount, total change in the redistricting process. That's all just in the first half of 2011. And once the recall elections were certified, we were in court 10 times, and our decisions were upheld each of those times. But then we ended up getting ready for what was widely seen as the 2012 recall, which is the first ever statewide recall that looked like would have a chance, and it did, of forcing a recall election. So we had to recall the governor, the lieutenant governor. There's some very novel legal questions. It was just constant from, you know, February of 2011 till the middle of 2012.
As we alluded to earlier, the GAB has certainly also been the target of quite a bit of criticism over the years, one in the area of John Doe investigations that were seen to be targeting Governor Walker and his administration. The GAB was sued by Wisconsin's Club for Growth, and the club attorney had this to say about their position on the GAB's interpretation of its mandate.
They've ignored all of those and essentially become an arm of a John Doe investigation. And it's our contention that the law doesn't permit that.
So how would you, or how did you respond to that criticism, and did it change the way that the GAB did their day-to-day work?
It did not change the way the GAB did its day-to-day work. I mean, that was their characterization of it. They did get a favorable ruling from the state Supreme Court the nature of the investigation, although it was focused more on what the district attorney's role than it was on what we were doing. But the legal theory that the GAB had, was using when it opened up its investigation, which was, initiated by the GAB, was one that had been upheld by Court of Appeals in Wisconsin before that. It was the advice we had provided, and the board, I think, rightly, when it was presented with facts that suggested there was a violation of the law as it had been applied for years, did what it was supposed to do. It didn't ignore a violation. It started to gather evidence to see if it could be sustained in court. Now, we never finished the investigation because it was thwarted by a multitude of lawsuits and ultimately a court decision that reversed the theory of law that had been in place for years.
We're talking with Kevin Kennedy right now. He's director and general counsel of the Government Accountability Board, which will be disbanded at the end of the month. So as we said, the legislation that has disbanded the GAB also puts in place separate ethics and elections boards, which, as you said, was what the GAB was formed out of originally. So what will this new system look like? Is it significantly different than what the predecessors of the GAB were?
It is significantly different from what the predecessors were. As I said, the old ethics board was a nonpartisan board, serving six-year terms. Probably its biggest challenge was the fact that it had the same director for 34 years and only two chairs. So it was pretty institutionalized over its 34-year existence. The elections board was a bipartisan board, but it always tilted one way or the other because the governor had a direct appointment in addition to the nominations that came from the political parties. And then there's a Supreme Court member. So it was not unusual that it wasn't an evenly balanced board. And they only had two-year terms, so there was not a lot of historical significance. This new board is really less of an executive branch agency under the governor's appointment. It's much more, it's a legislative branch agency because the four legislative leaders directly appoint four of the six commissioners on each commission. And then they give the governor a limited list of individuals to pick. And it's evenly balanced between people who are Democrats and Republicans based on the appointment process. So it's much different in that sense. It's not a whole lot different in that the deliberations that the Ethics Commission will be engaged in will be behind closed doors, just as the deliberations of the Government Accountability Board. So you don't get any more transparency. And that was one of the faults I thought the Government Accountability Board had, was that when we had complaints on lobbying and campaign finance, we could not discuss them in public. That we cannot make the materials or the staff's recommendation available in public. And I think that fueled some of the criticism, as unsupported as it was. And I think that would have been a change that would have been laudable, but that's not going to happen with the Ethics Commission.
Why do you think lawmakers decided to end the Government Accountability Board?
Well, because one political party held control of everything, and it was very clear that the legislature wanted to control the agencies that affected their reelection, their money, their ethics advice. They were very unhappy with the fact that an independent executive branch agency with trained decision makers that was not beholden to them would be making these decisions. And that's really the root of it.
And given that these new boards are going to be staffed by people who are appointed by the legislature and okayed by the governor, what kind of confidence do you have in them providing a true oversight role with the legislature and the executive branch?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I would just caution, it's the decision makers that are direct appointments. The nonpartisan staff pretty much remains the same. All of the staff, except for me, is transitioning into positions with the new agencies doing the work that they mm-hmm. did before. It's just that the decision makers on the commission
right.
who will be different than the judges.
Right. I misspoke on that. So it's actually people that are holding the chairs on these.
Right. But, you know, I think we'll have to wait and see. But it's pretty clear that there's a very real possibility that people would split along partisan lines on contentious issues. I mean, a lot of what comes in front of the commissions is not going to be that controversial. Maybe we'll wait and see how the Elections Commission decides to implement the new voter ID education program to get a sense of that. The Ethics Commission is going to be a little bit behind because they still have to hire an administrator to run the commission.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
That was Kevin Kennedy, Director and General Counsel of the Government Accountability Board, which will be disbanded as of the end of the month.